Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this morning. We are getting things straightened out here, and we will be ready to go in just a moment. Let me introduce the panel to you. We had a spill in aisle 7, so I don't know if you can call in the reserves, Rob, with somebody with paper towels. That would be awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much.
This has nothing to do with GE, does it?
No. and so it will be fine. Oops. Everything will be fine. It was all only water. We've just been christened, that's all. Well, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. Let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. In fact, he's walking in the door this very moment. Good morning,
Alan.
He had nothing to do with the spill. No, he had nothing to do with the spill. That was a mic stand issue.
What the hell happened here?
All right, you're on the air, Alan.
On the air, Alan.
I knew that.
Okay. Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussfell joins us. Good morning, Ira.
Good morning. I'm all wet.
Yes. We're again.
But people have said that, and it had nothing to do with me spilling
water.
We're getting.
Look at that. Rob has a whole handful of paper towels.
No,
we're ready to go. So good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Anything you wanted to say, Alan?
Yes. How come Teresa isn't sitting next to me? Why is Ira sitting next to me? I want Teresa to be sitting next to me. Don't you see the
honestly,
difference?
The reason is because of her computer.
It's too big, but I'm getting a new one. It's on the way.
And then she'll be your...
And then I can
Thank
sit
you,
anywhere.
Rob. Yeah. Rob Chacon, who is not only our board officer this morning, but also... is mopping up on aisle 6.
And also our curator of music.
Yes, our music curator, and that's good. All right. Well, let's get started, and then we'll... Look, we have a puppy in the studio.
Perhaps Ira didn't see the sign. We should come in here. Absolutely no food.
Yeah, but we all violate that.
Yeah, but we're
regular. He says with food in his mouth.
We're regulars.
Yeah, as he says with food in his mouth.
Alan says as he's chewing his bagel.
It's a pretzel, which is very good for pre-show warm-ups, vocal warm-ups. All right, so that's the panel. Let's get to the meat of the program, and we welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org. All right, let's talk about the lockbox real quick. We'll get that under the air, then we'll underway. We'll take a break, and then we'll hopefully, I don't know, get a diaper in here or something and get up
yeah,
the rest of the moisture.
Don't worry about it. Everything's good.
Okay. I don't want you to get electrocuted.
No problem.
All right, Alan, we have a lockbox and we have a challenge underway.
Joseph, this is deadly serious stuff. We can get around. We can have a good time. Our numbers for this program are astronomical. How many people are listening? I have to say to you that somebody wrote us a note last night. I'm sure you saw it, Joe. Which said that they live over in Amherst and they listen to the music or whatever on WFCR, one of the other stations over there.
Yeah.
But comes the panel, they wouldn't miss the panel. Here's the point.
Yes.
The point is we do have a wonderful station. We do take chances. We do say things that nobody else in public radio would say. And as a result, we know how many people are listening and love this and count on it and say that to us every day. We can't have that courage unless you have courage. And that courage, I hate to quantify it, could be $5 or could be $1,000, but we are so close. Now, how much have we raised, Joe?
You know, I don't have that figure in front of me of what we're up to. I know we're going for to the half a million, and I also know that we have the big challenge, right? We have the big challenge from the Bernard and Ann Spitzer Foundation, and that obviously is a huge deal.
Well, as a careful listener to this station, I heard you mention this morning that it was over $280,000.
$280,000.
Right.
So in order to get to that $500,000 and to get the $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation, which is deadly serious stuff, we absolutely need everybody to do something. And it is with passion that we say that to you. We can't do it without you.
Now, I think, maybe this is a duh thing, but for people who may not know, that is more... Then, when we make this, that will be more than halfway in the drive.
That's right. And Joe, 200. Our wonderful Amber has just told us that we're up to 282 and 607. 282-607. Ira, I am never going to let you forget drowning this place.
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but it ain't my fault.
No.
It's my fault.
No, I think
where everything is good.
I prefer, as the academics say, I prefer the other narrative where it's Ira's fault.
Yeah. I'm sure that shocks Ira. All right, let's. Hey, Rob, let's remind people WAMC.org for the lockbox. 1-800-323-9262. We're going to have our final cleanup. We'll come back after the break and we'll get started. We'll be right back after this. We just got yelled at by engineering.
Why? What do we do?
Liquids in the studios.
I agree.
As everybody in here holds a cup of coffee except me, who has water.
Well, there are those of us who have a little extra rank.
I see.
You need to be like me and have it in a sippy cup form so it doesn't spill.
We're all right. It's all fine. We're all cleaned up now. Good morning. Welcome to Back to the Roundtable panel at WAMC.org. Let's get started. We'll talk about, there's a lot I want to go on here. It seems like every day we've been starting about on Russia, so I don't want to start on that today. I want to start on the CBO score. Uninsured ranks still to grow by tens of millions under latest House health care bill, according to the CBO. Health care legislation adopted by House Republicans earlier this year would leave 23 million more Americans uninsured by 2026. Under current law, the Congressional Budget Office projected Wednesday only a million fewer than the estimate for the House's previous bill. The nonpartisan agency's finding, which drew immediate fire from Democrats, patient advocates, health industry officials, and some business groups, is likely to complicate Republicans' push to pass a companion bill in the Senate. It seems that the line here is the Congressional Budget Office projected this, that it's only a million fewer than the estimate for the House previous bill, leaving 23 million. So it was 24, now it's 23.
Well, you know, Joe, NPR has been bending over backwards, too far backwards, because I think they changed the truth by doing this, by making sure that whatever Trump does or says gets a fair hearing. This morning, I believe it was on NPR on my way over here, that I heard the they had a senator, a Republican senator, I wish I remember who, said, well, basically, we don't trust the scoring. We don't trust them. We don't think that they get it right.
Blame the refs. Blame the refs.
They've got it wrong in the past, you see? So we don't trust them. And that's their narrative for this. Giving that guy that platform to me was a little bit much. Anyway, it is clear to me that they're going to proceed. Trump is going to ask for everything. He's going to get part of everything. That's in terms of his budget. That's in terms of his health care bill. And the Democrat and the Republicans in the United States Senate will hold up their shoulders and say, well, you see, we gave back some. That's what's going to happen. No?
You're talking about that the ultimately you think the Senate will provide a health care bill that will be acceptable to the Republicans?
Yes.
See, I just don't see it happen. I think right now that the Republican senators who don't fear most of them the immediate threat of not being elected or reelected, and you've tacked that on to this onerous tax bill. I just think that whatever eventually emerges, and I imagine something will emerge, will not look anything like what's out there right now.
Well, yes, we're not in disagreement about that. I think that's right. But they'll get something. And to Trump, getting something is much more important than what he gets.
What surprises me, and I shouldn't be surprised after all these months about Trump, is that he laid out with the health care bill and with the tax bill, particularly with the tax bill and the budget— such a set of onerous proposals that that have no chance of getting through in their current state, yet they are going to be attached to Trump as his original plans, and he is hurting his own voters, his own base.
You know what? Read The Art of the Deal, because that's what it's all about. You ask for a lot more than you're going to get. You get something, and then you braggadocio get there. Teresa, you are so silent today. What are you?
She's all soggy.
No, I'm listening. I have some things to say.
Well, good. Say them.
I think that the CBO score is very important, not for just the numbers that are in the score, the 14, you know, the people who will be left uninsured, 23 million, and the savings, but also unusually the narrative in this CBO report is important because it talks very explicitly about the fact that this bill will drive a number of people off of the health care. They won't be able to have access to health care, particularly those who are sick and elderly. And if you listen to Speaker Ryan again yesterday, he was still saying that this is better for people, that we're not going to hurt anybody, that we're helping a program that's falling apart, which is simply not true. And at some point, his rhetoric and the reality are going to have to get caught up with each other.
And self-fulfilling prophecy happens, right?
Right. So, but the problem is that even if this bill stalls in the Senate, the Trump administration is still taking action now to do harm to the existing healthcare structure by, for one thing, in the last few weeks, delaying payments to insurance companies that they were anticipating getting by law. And they're doing this at a time when these insurance companies need to set their rates. They're bumping up against a deadline to set their rates for next year. And so because they're uncertainty, the experts say now they're going to be forced, or they're going to then react by setting rates higher. And then Trump and the Republicans will say, see, these rates went up. Well, the rates are going to go up because of the uncertainty that the Republicans and Trump are creating in the health market. And so that even if they don't pass this bill, they're still doing harm to the existing system. Now, the right thing to do, of course, if the Senate would get together, the Republicans and Democrats, and do what Democrats have been asking for since the bill passed. The program needs improvements. Let's work together on further improving it using the existing Obamacare or ACA structure. That's what really needs to happen, that won't happen.
You know, Teresa, I know some people who have been using the Obamacare program who say that the rates are frightfully high for them now.
Right. Well, from the beginning, they have said that this program would need continuous improvement. But what has happened over the last several years since it was passed is that the Republicans have refused to work with the Democrats on making these incremental improvements that'll make the program better.
Sure, but any of these programs will have to be improved.
Tweaked all the time.
Until we get to until we get to Medicare for everyone.
Right. Right.
Here's where I think if Trump is thinking, as you suggest, Alan, the art of the deal, particularly about the budget, when you negotiate in private business, whether it's with a union or whether it's for a contract, you start out at a far end position knowing you're not going to get that position and you'll ultimately get somewhere else. That's typically done in private.
Which is where Trump comes from.
Where Trump comes from. So now let's say if this extends to the budget, he has put out a budget that is so draconian and hurts so many of the people, particularly the people who he appealed to in the campaign.
And none of them are moving in any of the polling. And they're all for him.
But now we have this. Look what regardless of where this thing ends up, however the budget comes out, the Democrats are going to be able to say, look where Trump started. They can't do that in a private contract, but in a public budget negotiation like this, the Democrats can say, Trump actually put out a budget that had this, 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 and this. Look at all of these places. He was prepared to have to hurt you.
But Ira, the people, the 38% who are for him, are not moving.
So far.
And you're saying, here is a perfect intellectual argument that will sway them to say, well, you're being hurt, and therefore, you have to move. But there is no evidence that they're listening or that they will. Now, I'm not going to say what Hillary said about a basket of deplorables and all the rest of this stuff, but you've got to have an intellectual capacity to listen to this stuff and to let it sway you.
So if people out there who were Trump voters lose their food stamps, which is one of the places he wants to cut significantly, you don't think at that point it will move them to say, "What? We voted for this guy. Why did he take away my food stamps?" programs.
Well, I would hope so, Ira, but I just don't see any evidence that's happening.
His numbers continue to go down, but the base
Total number is down, yeah. Not the base.
Not the base.
And he keeps saying, it's important that I satisfy my base. He says that.
But I think with Trump on health care, he's provided no evidence that he understands how the health care system works or what these changes will wreak, you know. I think that for him, it's that somebody's made it clear to him, we have to change this health care bill so that we can get you a tax break. And that's his, it seems to be, that's his focus.
But Teresa, you're a wonk. You know you're a wonk. You say you're a wonk. You're an intellectual. You think about these things. Ditto Ira, the newspaper editor, publisher, who says these things also. I am simply crying out in frustration that these intellectual arguments that you're making, which are perfectly sound and correct, don't hold water with the people who voted for him because they don't like what's going on in the world.
I think the people who voted for him are going to, in time, come to understand that his rhetoric doesn't match the policies, that his pledge to protect them and make life better for them.
You're using words like rhetoric and policy, and these are not words that resonate.
Right, well, let's use some specific words. The coal miners,
yeah,
he wanted to cut their health care.
We just have about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, you made the point.
And in the end, the Congress would not go along with Trump's proposal to cut the coal miners' health care. But the coal miners understood that whoever was going to cut their health care was not on their side. So they understood that.
I don't think so.
Care didn't, because Congress stepped in and said no.
Okay.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Alan Chartok, Ira Fussfeld, and Teresa Bourgeois. We welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Don't forget the lockbox, wamc.org, wamc.org.
282,607 in. We need 500,000.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We welcome your letters, panel at wamc.org. Letters that sound strikingly like the ones Alan's about to read.
And Gina says, in today's Irony Prize, Ben Jacobs, the Guardian reporter, body slammed by Jean Portier.
We're going to get to that story in a minute, but
probably has a very good health care for his injuries. Am I the only one who thought he sounded like Hulk Hogan?
I don't know if I made that connection, but sure.
Okay. Alan, I will pledge $25 right now if you promise not to eat on the air. Gross. We run the gamut here from the sublime to the... Okay, so...
For $25, say thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not sure it's worth it.
Yeah.
I think it would be more. It would be at least worth $150 to not eat on the air anymore.
Daisy says, I heard that NPR interview. It was infuriating. The senator from South Dakota kept talking about affordable plans, and Rachel Martin didn't counter with the fact that the new bill from the Senate will allow for these really cheap plans that will essentially offer no coverage.
Exactly.
And Alan, a new poll out yesterday shows that his numbers are finally moving. Well, let me put it this way. They made a big thing out of some of the polling that has been done. But I don't know that it gets to the base. It gets to the larger number of people who are dissatisfied with him. And I'm a little frustrated because I thought I remember 38% in another poll from a long time ago. And now another poll shows it 38% now and shows it's getting lower. So, you see, I'm confused.
Well, plus or minus four, I think, is the issue. These polls are plus or minus 3 or 4 points. So,
but the polls are different because they ask different people different questions.
Right.
And
but they're right now ranging from about 32 to 38.
Where's the 32?
I read someone.
I find that encouraging.
No, I saw that.
I saw that. Encouraging. She said it's about 32 to 38.
I wasn't doubting it, Joe. I was just simply saying.
I want to say Ipsos, but I'm not positive.
I read a summary of the polls that said, and they are going down.
I'll do my homework in a moment.
Do your homework.
Okay. So Daisy, good for you, Daisy. And Marsha says, dear panel and Alan, earlier this morning, I'm not on the panel, earlier this morning I heard you talking about photos being published by our press and how one may choose to view them or not. After corresponding with a friend at the UK, I was informed that these questionable photos were shared only with UK and US intelligence agency. So the leaks were made by our intel. If we, in quotes, wish to be trusted, the current administration needs not to betray international confidence, is, and that's from Marsha. Thank you, Marsha.
Thank you.
And thank you to everybody. And by the way, I have an idea, Joe. Let me see if we could do this. We now have, according to our latest figure, $282,607 in the lockbox. Wouldn't it be great if we could get 17.4, something like that, in the by the time we go off, Joe, and then we would have a $300,000 lockbox so far, and then we could not fail in the last week getting that last $200,000. Because we make $100,000 a day in the fund drive, so that would seem, but we have to get to that $300,000. If everybody just go to their phones right now or to their computers and do, you know, and say WMC.org and put something in, we could get to that $300,000. Don't you see, Joe?
I'm making note of it right now so I can get the latest number so we can be updated every 5 minutes or so, and I'll keep you abreast of what is going on.
Here's support of wonkiness.
Here's some motivation for people who like this program, and people do like this program.
I didn't catch it. What did you
pledge in support of wonkiness.
Yeah. Pledge.
Yeah. All you want.
So well, food for you, wonky for me.
The more money that has to be raised during the fund drive means the more days that the roundtable panel will not be on. So as much fun it is to listen to the fund drive, people like to see the panel.
Or vice versa. Don't you see?
Yes. No.
All right. No, but all right. So let's go to this story. Well, since it was brought up, and it's I think a quick one. We only have about 5 minutes before we go over to the a break. Is it Greg Gianforte? Is that the man's name?
Gianforte.
Greg Gianforte, the Montana GOP candidate, he's in a very hotly contested special House election in Montana. He was charged with assaulting a journalist on Wednesday at what was to be a final rally in Bozeman on the eve of the vote. The attack brought police officers to the event and sent the reporter to the hospital for x-rays. In a statement late Wednesday, the office of the Gallatin County Sheriff, Brian Goodkin, says there was enough evidence to charge the candidate with misdemeanor assault. Mr. Gianforte, the Republican candidate for the state's lone House seat, is scheduled to appear in court before June 7th.
A couple of things. One, Republican district. Two, there's at least one poll out right now that shows the Democrat out in front by 7 points.
So, yes, although we should note that the Democrat has been slightly ahead throughout this contest, yeah, 2 or 3 points
right,
throughout,
right,
even before the body slam.
Well, and then the question is, does the body slam, I raised this on the Media Project with Ira, does the body slam, because remember, people don't like reporters, and does the body slam necessarily mean that people are going to hate him? Or does it mean, good, I wish I could have given them one myself?
Well, we'll know tonight, right?
The atmosphere in this country, which I think is largely fostered by right-wing radio over the years, you know, last decade or so, and now picked up by Trump and Trump supporters, has become so angry. And Trump continued to foster the anti-press drumbeat to the point where he, you know, has been demeaning and
enemy of the people. He said
enemy of the people
and locked him up in pens.
The kind of thing that happened last night in Montana is almost a predictable result of this.
So you think Trump? I agree with you, by the way.
Yeah.
So you think Trump set the stage?
Yes.
By being so anti-press that other people are now emboldened.
Yeah, I think that's a fair conclusion. And then you look at what this guy's immediate reaction was. Gianforte, he puts out a statement rather than saying, you know, I lost my cool. It's the last night before the election. I was tense and whatever, and apologize. He tries to defend it. He throws in the phrase liberal journalist, as that has some factor in this. I said on the Media Project the only word that was missing was liberal Jewish journalist.
Which he is.
It's just an atmosphere that exists in this country, and it's somebody up to and including Trump has got to say something to tamp this down.
Because well, that won't happen.
Apparently not.
But also that, yes, I agree with the emboldened part, but the guy could just be a jerk, right?
No, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's either or. In other words, Trump could be making them emboldened, but on the other hand, the guy could be a jerk. And look,
well, you can be a jerk,
but
if you want to be a member of Congress, you cannot be losing your temper like that.
Well, you want to be president of the United States, you shouldn't be a jerk.
Right. But I agree. I mean, I tweeted out last night when I first read this, would this happen in pre-Trump era, or is this a natural progression of penning the media, denigrating them, falsely claiming fake news? But a couple of things on this. One,
people have punched other people well before the Trump era.
When you're 3 years old.
But you're talking about reporters?
For a congressperson to punch a reporter. I agree with you.
I'm just saying that.
But wait, just before you go on, one thing here. Look at our districts. We have Elise Stefanik and we have Faso. And they cannot get over this vote on the health care. They cannot get over it.
Right, but can you imagine either of them?
They're terribly frustrated, but they do. Yeah,
they're not going to do that. There's a level of civility that crosses a line of civility.
Yeah, well, that's true.
They're not going to do that.
That's true. By the way, the sheriff who did the arresting gave the Republican candidate $250, which he's admitted up front. I think somebody asked him about it.
But he still charged him. Good for him, right away.
Well, there's felony. There's misdemeanor. I'm not so sure.
He charged him with a misdemeanor, and he was interviewed by Don Lemon on CNN last night, and he constantly referred
to
the sheriff. And
I thought you meant the reporter. Hasn't he been through enough?
Are you kidding? This makes his career forever, Joe.
But the sheriff constantly referred to the reporter as the alleged victim.
But I think that, I did not see that. But I think two things. One, in terms of what effect will have on the outcome of the election. One of the things you have to keep in mind is in Montana has early voting, and it's reported that about 2/3 of the voters have already cast their vote. But they also have same-day registration. So if this antagonized people and they were upset about it in a bad way, then they can still register and vote. But if they thought, yay, good for him, putting these reporters from New York or, Europe in their place, either way, more people could go vote. But the other, this guy, the reporter.
Can I just do one thing here, piece of business? I know that we have a wonderful crack staff out in the front office here.
Right.
And since we're trying to keep up with this $300,000 thing, if somebody could bring us a black Sharpie, that would be great. That would help us. Now, please proceed on the more important.
We currently have $285,000.
Okay.
So we're up from $282,000. So just so you know. So $285,060.
It's going fast now.
And 39 cents.
It's going fast.
Go ahead, Teresa.
So the reporter asked him a question about the health bill. But also, as The Guardian pointed out last night, the reporter is also the same person who, in the end of April, put out a story about how this congressman, this candidate, owns $250,000 shares invested in funds holding Gazprom and Rosneft, which are Russian companies.
Interesting.
Right. So.
And this reporter was the one who did it.
This reporter broke the story April 28th.
I didn't know that.
GOP candidate has financial ties to U.S. sanctioned Russian companies. And so this reporter, the candidate was very unhappy with this reporter.
From The Guardian. Yeah.
From The Guardian before he asked the question and about health care. So so some people say, well, it's okay because he owned them. He owned a fund of funds of Russian funds that had. Now, the reason why these particular holdings are bad is because they're part of the holdings that are sanctioned, part of the sanctions after the Russians invaded Ukraine. So to hold these individually would violate the sanctions. But because he holds them in a fund of funds, okay, this is really wonky, so there's some fuzziness about whether or not it violates the sanctions because it's part of essentially a mutual fund, iShares and ETFs.
Fascinating.
So let me be less wonky for a second.
That was really wonky.
No, but
not at all.
Do you think we would be, I was struck by the use of the word body slam as opposed to punched, pushed, assaulted.
Broke my
glasses. The reporter said, he came out and said, I've been body slammed.
Right, that's the term he used.
He used it, but then once they saw the Fox description of it, the reporters and others in the room said it was much worse than a body slam. He grabbed him around the neck, threw him to the floor, and while on the floor, punched him.
That sounds felonious to me.
I wasn't there. That was the description of it.
That's the one I read in the paper.
America Today.
All right. Let's take a break. We will continue, and we have many more topics to discuss. A reminder, however, that we're trying to get to the $300,000 point by 10:30 this morning, and we are already at 285. So keep going.
15,000.
WAMC.org. This is all to ultimately get us to 500,000 by the time we start the fund drive on June 5th at 6 a.m. And a $25,000 challenge.
Yeah, don't forget the Spitzer Foundation.
We should know. Absolutely. So,
for wonkiness.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and 1-800-323-9262. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Double H Ranch, Lake Luzerne, New York, providing outdoor Adirondack adventures for the past 25 years for over 60,000 children with serious illnesses. DoubleHRanch.org. Dr. Brian Strickler at Schenectady Eye Surgery Associates, offering comprehensive eye care, including advanced technology cataract surgery, SchenectadyEyeSurgery.com. Bedard Brothers, representing 7 automotive brands in 1 Brooker County location for 60 years and counting. Sales, service of new or certified pre-owned cars or trucks. It's hard to beat Bedard. BedardBrothers.com. And Western New England University, Springfield, Massachusetts, offering a low residency Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing, wne.edu/MFA, for more information.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable Panel. Alan Chartok, Ira Fussfeld, and Teresa Bourgeois. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your letters panel at WAMC.org. Before we go careening into other big topics, we do remind you that we are in a mini flurry here trying to
I would say a death struggle.
A death spiral?
Yeah.
What's the opposite of a spiral? What's the...
An anti-spiral.
I don't know. He calls it a whoosh.
No. The whoosh is an upward spiral, but the downward spiral is a whirlpool.
That's a flush.
A flush. That's right.
All right.
You got to go the opposite of flush.
Anyway, we're at $285,000. We want to get to $300,000. That's $15,000. Hey, and it's on you. So there you go. Thank you very much. We have letters. We'll go to those, and then that'll bring us up to the top of the hour. When we come back, we will talk about Russia. We'll talk about Jeff Sessions. And I'm hoping we get to the Sean Hannity story, because I find this story fascinating.
Fascinating
because I despise that guy. Judith says, hi, panel. I don't expect Trump's base to change their minds. Nixon's base did not desert him either. People won't admit they've been wrong, and there's always someone else to blame. And Richard says something that I really like. Alan is right. We have to wait until the right's ox starts getting gored. Did I say that?
No,
I think
it's
you guys
a fair interpretation.
The right's ox?
Yeah, and Alan is spelled A-L-A-N, but I don't care.
I don't care.
But return this for revisions.
You can spell Teresa however you want.
Russell says, Trump, talk Teflon. He talks when he's criticized, he just talks more. He takes no responsibility, so nothing sticks. And that's from Russ. And Diane says, what do you folks make of the New York Health Act? That's Dick Gottfried's foray into providing health care for every New Yorker. Great idea.
Right.
What else can I say? Got to see if the New York State Senate goes along with it, if you know what I mean. Where there's now one more Democrat than they needed to take the majority, except that the traitors, the so-called, Independent Democratic Conference, they haven't made the move to go back to where they should. And really inside baseball is a guy who has always provided the margin. His name is Simca Felder. He wrote to all of them in the Democratic Conference, the IDC, the traitors who have gone over for a few pounds of silver to the Republicans, that they really should go back where they belong. Go figure that one out. I don't know. There is that. Okay, Barbara says, our Barbara, I believe, Yeah, Trump's restoration of state-sanctioned white dominance and white supremacy, along with virulent xenophobia, go a long way to maintain the loyalty of his base, despite the real harms his policies will cause them. From Barbara, and I gotta say, Barbara, I'm with you on that one. I'm with you. I think you're right. And Donna says, read Nate Silver's article on Trump's numbers. Donald Trump's base is shrinking. Right. Interesting perspective. Is that the same Nate Silver who called this election correctly?
He did not call this election correctly.
My point. You
correct.
Take my
he
point.
He called the previous
say.
One. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So therefore.
But I do think there's some numbers and some anecdotal information from stories that are being done by NPR and others about people in his base who are now feeling a bit deserted by him.
I think it will. I don't know, Teresa. I've been listening to the NPR stories, some of which I consider to be disgraceful, by the way, bending so far backwards that the back of their heads are hitting the floor behind them, is they go around and they talk to all the Trump voters. And again and again and again, I don't like them on this, I don't like them on this, but I love them. I'm with them.
So veterans, you know, who are losing housing and job training and child care and such.
So much can happen, obviously. Let's presume that Trump survives the full 4 years and runs for re-election. So obviously so much can happen. But at the end of the term, if Trump loses for re-election, in my opinion, it is because he, while maintaining the base, has not reached out beyond the base.
You're probably right.
And I believe, I have enough confidence in the Democrats that they will see where their faults lied in the Electoral College, and attack the next election differently, and plus we'll have the votes of countless number of people who have now motivated to be anti-Trump. So I think if he survives everything, he's going to rue the day that he did not start reaching out to more people than just his base.
But it's really the did not vote party that prevailed
yes,
in the last
that's
election,
right.
And the did not vote party is now energized against a lot of these changes.
Yeah, true.
And so I think that will be the difference in terms of if we do in fact have a wave election, which means that lots of Democrats come in. But we also have to have good candidates, Democratic candidates, and the Democrats have to have a broad enough tent that they have to realize.
Yes, that's true.
And in the short term, we're only talking about another year or so, the Congress could turn over dramatically.
Well, that's what I mean.
That
2018.
Yeah. I interviewed yesterday for an hour. We're going to play it, I think, this coming Thursday, the interview with preeminent historian Tim Snyder, who has made the point that Trump could be leading us into a coup or a putsch. You will remember, everybody, that before he won the election, unexpectedly for him, he was talking about how it was going to be a rigged election. What we're worried about, many of us are worried about, is what happens when he's in the 20s and he comes in facing that? What happens when he says this is going to be a rigged election? And one way or another, you can't have one.
I'm going to say something that's going to sound like a shot, but it's going to wind up as a compliment. I've heard you posit this theory before, and initially I was thinking, oh, you know, that's Alan. He's just trying to be provocative and have a conversation. I'm increasingly coming to agree with you on this. I didn't think it was possible what you described might be attempted, but I'm more likely to believe that it could be attempted.
Well, with this guy, he has no limits. He really doesn't. And I think his chances of getting away with that now are less because I think he waited too long. I mean, I think a lot of his moves were pre-fascist moves. I do. But I think there's been so much discussion right now of all of his, his bad moves that I don't think it's as possible as it once was.
Well, oddly enough, I think that in this case, we need to look to not only the members of the Senate who have been around for a long time and really understand how fragile the democracy is and how important it is for them to step up, but I also think people like, we're going to have to depend on people like General Mattis,
Dog Mattis,
who is the Secretary of Defense, and others. And McMaster and others who I think are staying where they are because they feel they have a duty to country and constitution and not necessarily to Trump.
Well, I hope you're right, but just maybe, he's figuring he's got all those generals in those spots. They're going to do what he told them.
But I think we have to hope that their duty is to country, not person, and do the right thing.
But more important than whether this country is going to go into dictatorship or not is, what's in the lockbox now, Joe?
286, 282.
See how he did that? Don't you see?
286, 282. Boy, we're getting close. And we only have how much? About half an hour now.
Yes,
34 minutes.
By
to get $14,000. Is that right? About 13 something?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I hope everybody was listening to this. Oh, boy. Okay. So, Keith
anybody
says,
pledging for wonkiness?
Everyone.
Keith said, I did a quick read of the CBO, but did not see if they scored this as a budget bill. Simple majority vote needed to pass, or if the HCA was considered a health bill, which would be filibusterable in the Senate requiring 60 votes. I thought the CBO, get ready, Wonker, I thought the CBO was responsible for making that determination. Does anyone know the outcome? I think that some of the GOP would prefer that the Dems be able to filibuster and then try, in capital letters, to blame the Democrats for HCA's demise. This is an awful bill. Thanks, Fesso.
Well, there's actually some question about whether or not the House is going to have to re-vote on the bill because of some technical issues that they did not handle properly. And so because they want the bill to be able to be voted on as part of, as he notes there, as part of a budget bill. And because if it's a budget bill, then they only have to hit the 50-vote majority. But if it's not a budget bill, then they will have to vote, get the 60 votes. And so with the scoring has to be before. Anyways, there's some technical issues with the scoring that may require the House to vote yet again on the bill.
Joe says, go back to duels like Hamilton and Burr, the good old days. Settle disagreements like men of honor. Hi,
that's
panel, says
approach.
Kristen. This Montana thing sounds like brown shirt stuff to me, occurring more and more. It scares me. And that's from Kristen.
Well, it's just...
I think that there are a lot of...
God is just a jerk.
There are a lot of politicians who on both sides of the aisle who have felt like strangling reporters before, but they're in control enough of themselves not to do it. And this guy...
Very stupid.
Yeah.
Tired. I'm not excusing him, but you're tired. You're at the end of the campaign.
Yeah, it's the night before the election.
It's the night before the election. You're mad at the guy anyway, and you lose it. But if you're going to be a member of Congress, you cannot cross that line. You can want to, but you can't do
it. Well, let's see if it helped
Let's see
if it helped him or hurt him.
Well, in fact, there were some people, the reporter went out and interviewed some people, and they said, oh, yeah, that's great. You know,
yeah, I'd like to do that to reporters, too,
The three major newspapers in Montana all rescinded their endorsement.
That may be a little self-seeking, Ira, right? In other words, you attacked our institution, therefore we're going to, as opposed to doing the wrong thing.
Well, I thought you were going to go the other way, which was people don't pay attention to the endorsements.
Well, no,
anyway.
But I think those are conservative papers. I don't think that's any small thing. I don't know that it'll matter, but I don't think it's a small thing. But I think once one did it, the rest of them had to do it, though.
All right, we have to take a break. We're late. So we're going to go do that, and we'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us, and we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. While all of this is going on, we also should mention that we're trying to get to the $300,000 point of the fund drive by the time we end our panel discussion this morning. Just a tick before 10:30, and currently we are at $287,302. Reminder, this is all to get to $500,000 so we can get a $25,000 challenge before we start the fund drive on June 5th.
A couple of things, Joe, that I wanted to mention. You said just a tick. Please don't do that again. I'm on doxycycline right now, so tick is really a very...
But clocks go tick-tock.
Short-tock, tick-tock, very bad. I was just fooling with you, of course. So now we're getting very close. We need about $13,000 in the next half an hour. Have we ever done that during a fund drive? Many, many times while we're on the air. So if people really want to save us now... This is a great time to come and do that. And how much did you say we need?
You just said 13,000.
Yeah, 13,000, yeah.
Yeah.
Malcolm Nance sold out.
Yeah. We have, thank you for mentioning that, Ira. We have 20 tickets left, and that would be $2,000, which would go a long way. We started with, we had, I think, two-something available, 200-and-something tickets, and now we're down to the last 20. $100 each gets you in. It's June 15th. It's from... 9 to 10:30, Malcolm Nance, counterterrorism expert and MSNBC correspondent. That's not the word I want.
Extraordinaire.
No. Analyst.
Analyst, thank you very much.
And he's been all over the MSNBC the last couple of days.
Absolutely.
And, and he's ours.
Yeah, I mean, he lives right here in Hudson, and he's giving this to us. And, yes, we're
sign his book.
Filled to the rafters. We're going to have a book signing. So, hey, you know, that would bring us up to 290 if we got rid of all the tickets in just the next 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, you know, Joe, I know you're going to kill me for this. It won't be the first time. But I think if Colleen came in here, we have one more incentive, something at Tanglewood this summer that I think
I have that.
You have that there?
Yeah.
That would be great. But only in this time. What is it, Joe?
Did we talk about this, though? Do we know where we're going?
Yeah, it's the Mozart Mahler concert in the shed. In the shed. Do you have that one? Mozart Mahler in the shed. I know Colleen will come running in here.
No, I see it, but I don't see Mozart. I see Mozart. I don't see Mahler.
Oh, well, it's Mozart.
I see Ravel, Haydn, and Mozart Piano Concerto Number 2. Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know.
I just want to make sure we have the right one.
I don't know. Me too. And I would rather have Mozart than Mahler any day. But then again, why bother with me? The BSO is all about Mahler. They love Mahler.
All right.
Bernstein loved Mahler.
Let me figure this out, and you can read letters in the meantime.
Okay.
We'll try to
here we go. Very quick. Very quick.
I'm going to make a quick phone call.
Yeah,
all right?
Phone call. Yeah. Okay.
Hello, Mozart?
Okay. Okay. Hope says Jim Forte has holdings in Russian firms under sanctions also. Another Trumpian connection? As I have said many times, Russians. Okay.
And Turkey.
Panel. Trump's base is the Christian right, who are anti-Muslim, pro-gun, anti-abortion. As long as Trump gives them this, they will never move. Forget about convincing them through facts. They don't care, and that's from my very good friend Eric, who knows what he's talking about.
Where are the real conservatives who would blanch at this Russian connection?
Don't confuse me with the facts.
I also think that there were many people, the post-election analysis, people who were, you know, working class folks who felt disaffected and discouraged. And part of that is because of the growing economic gap between those at the top and, you know, the working folks with wage disparities and such. And So I think that those folks are going to be hit hard by Trump's proposals, his budget proposals, and not in a good way.
Okay, I hear you. Professor Shartok, you frequently mention the 40% Trump that never moves. If my memory is correct, after all the Watergate had been revealed, Nixon had to resign and he had flown off to San whatever, California, he still had about 40%. We've heard this today before.
Yes.
When I say 40, I'm thinking 30 to 40 or so. I guess I could Google it, but I don't think the exact actual numbers is what counts. Oh, my goodness.
It's Mozart.
Yeah, no, it's not
He's
Mozart.
He's returning your call.
No, it's somebody who should not be calling me. Thank you. Okay, regardless of the question, we still have some things we believe in because we want to, regardless of evidence to the contrary, right or not. Okay, wait, Joe, you got some information for us, right?
I have two pieces of information for you. We are at $289,212.
11,000 to go, and we only have 20 minutes to do it in.
That's true. And so I think what you are talking about, Alan, is we have tickets to the shed. This is a Lockbox exclusive premium. For a $100 pledge, you get a pair of tickets to go to the shed for the July 14th concert.
In the shed. Not on the lawn.
No, that's not true, actually. Oh, yes, you're right. Yes, it is.
Oh, of course I'm right.
In the shed, 8 o'clock. I'm sorry. It says it was Owl Hall here, but I see what they do.
Of course I'm right.
I got it. 8 o'clock, the shed, the BSO. Andras Nelson's the conductor, and it's Ravel, Haydn, and Mozart Piano Concerto Number 21 in C.
You don't hear that every day.
Haydn Symphony Number 83, and Ravel... Who knows French?
Le
Tambour de Couperin? Couperin?
Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Whatever.
Not Bolero?
No.
You know the Ravel Bolero?
Sure. Yes, yes.
That's the famous one.
Yes.
So this is the Stephen and Dorothy Weber concert. It is the BSO, Andras Nelson's July 14th.
July 14th. It's a Friday.
Best deal day.
And you get to go. Is that true? Wow.
Best deal day. Also
good
my birthday.
You. Well, that's
oh, your birthday.
Best deal day, bourgeois. Born on best deal.
Okay, but wait. So now we have 18 minutes to make this in, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, about that. Okay, I know that you cut out a little early. But so this will only count right now. And we need how much? $11,000 to do it in, right?
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Okay, good.
Yes.
So you want more letters or not?
I've given you what I have.
Oh, no, do you want more letters?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, Paul says, no one understood when Donald Trump said drain the swamp. He intended to do it by turning it into a landfill. And that's from Paul. Steve says, panel, Alan reminds me of my younger cousin and my grandfather. She would say to him, Grandpa, I have 78 cents. If I had another 22 cents, I would have a whole dollar. He would reach into his pocket and find the 22 cents. I just made my pledge in memory of my grandfather. Keep up the good work.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You know, don't you think? And Everett says, I don't think T-Man cares about his base. He's in it to make a pile of money and then resign. Brian says, it should be noted that the IDC members are all co-sponsors in the Senate of a single-payer bill. As Alan mentioned, it seems the only Democratic holdout is Felder. That being said, I feel this bill needs a lot of work before they make it a law. I don't know that Cuomo would even sign it as is. Well, that's a good point from Brian. Okay, and Christine says, hello, panel. Does anyone remember the 2000 Senate debate between Hillary Clinton and Rick Lazio? He lost it for his aggressive behavior during the debate when he invaded her space. How far we have fallen, Christine. Well, he did walk over there, but he didn't punch her. There's a big difference, don't you think?
That would have been great TV.
Oh, you know what? I was making the connection with the debate of Trump.
No, he did invade her space, which was terrible. But,
no,
I mean,
but you're thinking he's comparing it to the thing in Montana.
Yeah.
I thought that's where.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's
yes,
right.
That's what he's doing. But it's just, these are lines that should not be crossed.
Anthony says, 99% of the time, I too think Alan's right. However, it's always however. I think it's important to realize that Nate Silver being incorrect about the election proves he's not infallible. Exactly. Not that he's wrong. His record is still amazing and should be taken seriously. Okay, I take it back. I agree with you. Judy says, please stop making excuses for the violent attack of a reporter. There is no excuse for violent behavior ever. That's the point you should be making here. And Judy, you just made it, and you are so right. Okay.
I don't think we're making excuses.
Yeah, I think it's important.
No. We're trying. I don't think we ever did, but hey. Catherine says, if you haven't seen or read Mayor of New Orleans Mitch Landrieu's speech to the city, I was there when they took down Robert E. Lee from his pedestal. I was there. I saw it. Don't be telling me. I saw it. I was there. Don't you see? A speech to the city about the removal of Confederate states is well worth reading. It's a terrific speech, and everybody ought to go online and listen to it. It's unbelievable. Okay, dear panel, the assault of the reporter will have little effect on the outcome. Over 2/3 of the vote have already been cast by the time it happens, as most there did not want to vote on Thursday before a holiday weekend, and so sent in mail in ballots. I think Gianforte knew when he attacked the reporter. Look at his campaign. He's an exaggerated version of Trump, if there is such an animal, from Scott. Anyone who sees pictures of Trump with the popes, or the Trumps with the popes, Melania wore a veil out of respect to the Pope, but wouldn't wear a headscarf in the Middle East. Headscarf, of course. Hypocrisy, disrespect, lack of diplomacy, etc. One more stick to add to the fuel to the fires of hatred and its stepchildren, bigotry and racism. And that's from Carolyn.
I read a lot about that, and I think they're going a little overboard there. You know, that was it was very similar to what Michelle Obama wore when she met with the Pope. Melania is Catholic, and so I don't know. A lot of that seems to be unfair.
Well, I read in the paper today that the Pope's people said you cannot have long sleeves on and short sleeves on, and you must wear a head covering.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know that they said that in
Saudi Arabia or with the Pope.
No, with the Pope.
Right. But I think the issue about Saudi Arabia and her not wearing a headscarf or Ivanka is because...
Which also, by the way, Michelle Obama did not do. Right.
But the problem with that is the back and forth is because Trump denigrated Michelle Obama for not wearing a headscarf.
Okay, but that's the hypocrisy.
That's the hypocrisy. But so we, that's the back and forth.
We know but that story, but as far as
I think she did
the
right thing in both cases, yeah, Melania Trump. I think it just, you know, back off Melania Trump. She did that. Now, I was more concerned. She went to a health facility and beautiful pictures of her interacting with sick children on the same day, you know, the Trump, we're focused on the Trump bill and Trump budget, which will cut funding for children in the U.S. Nice mm-hmm. that she went to a hospital. Nice that yeah. she visited with lovely pictures. She seemed very caring. That's lovely, except for the Trump budget back in the U.S. Would the same child be able to get heart surgery here if they don't have the money?
Very good point. And it's intellectual and it's well thought through, Teresa. I myself was more interested when she slapped away his hand when she was walking
three
off
times.
The...
Yeah,
the,
more than once.
Three times.
She, you know, you can't read too much into these things, but she looks like the most unhappy person in the world when she's standing next to him.
Well, for the rest of the day, they were very lovey-dovey. Somebody must have said something. Yeah. Okay. Irene says, I called the pledge line and got in my $25. I sang the song. They didn't tell you? It's going to be a fast drive. Anyway, Joe,
you.
Where are we on this?
We're at 290, 392, 290,000. So we need $9,700.
Oh.
In the next
I can't believe it.
Six, am I right on that? No, 11 minutes. The next
there,
11 minutes.
My heart is palpitating.
Left for Malcolm Nance? Because that
yes.
is going to be amazing.
Not
only now you have, you know, the trip that he can talk about, but sadly the situation and the implications for the situation and in Manchester.
Yeah, I don't know how many we have. I think we only have about 10.
Yeah, forget about that part of it. Now it's just putting money into the box. Before, in the next 11 minutes, we need how much, Joe? $10,000?
$9,700.
Wow. So if anybody, you know, if you got an extra $1,000, if you got $5, whatever you can do, this is a great time to do it because we are so close to getting to that $300,000 mark.
All right, let's move on to another topic. And while you are, here, you want to read those?
Whatever you say, Joe, you're the boss.
All right.
Okay, so here we go. David says, my son just said, now that
everyone else laughed at that thing.
My son just said, now they can fund. They can fundraise 24/7, 365, and say it's for the lockbox. Genius. That's not true, David. Come on. Get with the program. Okay, so Ray says, that's Ray, R-E-Y, Ray.
Oh, not our Ray Grant.
Could be
no,
Ray.
Ray. It could be pronounced
yes,
Ray.
Guess
yeah,
it
okay. A pre-fund drive is a fund drive. I 100% wholeheartedly support you in the station, but call a spade a spade. We're fund driving unexpectedly early. Don't you see? Do you think?
Alan, you just love the fun drive, though.
I do.
Can I? All right. So, first of all, we're at $292,487.
$8,000.
Okay, read the letter.
Okay. Ravel composed on homage to the Renaissance composer François Couperin.
Couperin.
And that's the French way. You say that nasally.
Isn't that worth $7,200, ladies and gentlemen?
It's tambour. Tomb of Couperin. Okay, go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, look, we've been talking about the budget. Let us not forget.
Oh yeah,
that
what happened?
The budget. The money has been completely depleted for the Endowment of the Humanities, the Endowment of
Zero
Arts, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and any non-commercial public, any non-commercial slash public radio station has been zeroed out. Zero, nothing, and that is in the budget that was released Tuesday.
And they laughed at me when I said that was going to happen. Do you remember the laughter and the?
This is the NPR laughter.
The hilarious, yes, NPR. When I said. Are you people, they would say, this is what it's going to cost you this year. And I say, but they're not done with you yet. They're going to take your money away. Oh, well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Wrong. That is not the way you prepare for disaster. We have done it right here. And folks have been there with us.
So, Joe? I mean, it seems if you're worried about the future.
You have your crank
though,
radio and you have your lockbox. You're prepared for any disaster.
If you are.
That was funny.
Yes.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not normally funny.
Oh, no, you are.
You are funny.
Sorry, go ahead. I cracked myself. Yeah.
What's with all these fears?
All right.
Yeah. Well, I cracked myself.
Well, that...
That is funny and adorable, just for the record. Okay, so we have $7,400.
Oh, boy.
$7,400.
Be still, my heart. It's palpitating.
So, Rob, can we go right up to the news? Is that all right? Will you permit us to do that? What we'd like to do is...
We only have 8 minutes to go. For goodness sakes, don't just
do
sit
that.
There.
We'll do the BBC, and then we'll do Garrison Keillor, and then we'll do the other stuff.
Mommy,
right?
Mommy, can't we give them some money?
All right. So you got your Malcolm Nance tickets for $100. You get your Shed tickets at the Tanglewood for the July 14th concert in the Shed. Bastille Day. It's the Bastille Day concert. Dun, 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 dun. They're not doing
that's
that, but sure.
Bastille Day. Here comes the mail.
We only need, if your mail has a pledge, we welcome it. We're only asking for right now.
So we have 7 minutes.
That's right. We have 7 minutes. Now, I think we can get a topic in and talk about that while we're waiting for the money to come in, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, now, are we sick of these stories yet? Because they just keep coming and coming and coming. So, top Russian officials discussed how to influence Trump aides last summer. American spies collected information last summer revealing that senior Russian intelligence and political officials were discussing how to exert influence over Donald Trump through his advisors, according to three current and former American officials familiar with the intelligence. The conversations focused on Paul Manafort, the Trump campaign chairman at the time, and Michael Flynn, a retired general who was advising Mr. Trump. The official said both men had indirect ties to Russian officials who appeared confident that each could help, check that, confident that each could be used to help shape Mr. Trump's opinions on Russia.
Which, Joe, is why, from the very beginning, we were being told that what Flynn did and what Manafort did subjected them to blackmail. That's what we were being told from the very beginning. That's because, obviously, they knew what they were talking about. They knew about this conversation. And now we all know about it. It's something else again. And by the way, that's why Trump from the very beginning has been saying, Putin is great. He's a great man. Russia is great. We can do better with Russia. One and one and one, it's three.
$295,000 right now, so we're $5,000 away, and we have 5 minutes. So can we make $5,000 in 5 minutes?
And you go, by the way, go to the WMC.org and pledge that way, because that's the way, you know, we only have three or four people out front. So if you want to do it the other way. Do it at WAMC.org.
You can have a Teresa comedy album as a premium.
Yeah, that would be great.
Comedy wonk.
And I'm just thinking about how unfair it is for people to write in that this is a fun drive. Well, yeah, it's a fun drive. We got to keep this station going. I have no apologies to make, and I don't think any of us do. We're all in this together. And by the way, while I have a moment, thank you to everybody who's done something already. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Now, I just want to put this into perspective. We're just, let's say, under $5,000 away to getting to the $3,000 point in the lockbox.
$300,000.
Thank you. $300,000 point in the lockbox. And that is to get us, by June 5th, we want to get to $500,000. So we get a $25,000 challenge from the Spitzer Foundation. And look, we did this last time with the lockbox in one day. And we could do that again. If we supply the lockbox.
If we have a week to go with $200,000, piece of cake. So this right now is the linchpin of the whole drive. Think about that.
The linchpin of the whole, like right now.
Have you ever heard that before?
I have heard that before. And I'm sure I'll hear it again.
What happened when they didn't want you to say abortion on the air? I haven't heard that story in a few years.
I want to talk about the Russians.
Let's not do it now.
Or when Pataki took the money away, right. Remember that?
Or the chicken story.
How about when the Russians interfered with the U.S. elections?
What?
How about when the Russians interfered with the U.S. elections?
Yeah, how about
that's
that
why
one?
We need to have independent media.
So do you believe that one and one equals two in the sense of quoting Alan here, but that the reason that perhaps that the non-commercial radio stations and public television are being zeroed out is because they are...
Mine heart is palpitating. How much do we have to go? Mine heart.
I don't know if that's why, but I know that this news out yesterday from the Washington Post...
I mean, the place is the independent media where you actually get that type of coverage. You know, obviously there are other sources, but still.
Right.
Yes, go ahead.
And you have the FCC changes since Trump came in that allows people like the Blackstone Group and Fox to buy up more TV stations. Yep. So that's greater concentration of the news, and which I think is problematic and makes independent news all the more important.
You are so smart.
And if you saw Bill Maher the other night, you saw him interview Boris Epstein, who used to work at the Trump campaign. He was one of the more strident and annoying people, and he is now the editorial director for Sinclair, which is going to buy Tribune Media and extend its influence all over the country. And if, and I have a feeling that if you think Fox News is bad, wait till you see what happens to Sinclair.
But see how
2 minutes to go. 2 minutes to go.
There's a story yesterday that, to me, in the Post is so critical about fake news, and that this dubious Russian document influenced FBI's handling of the Clinton probe. That's the headline. And so remember all the news about how they claimed that the Justice Department, that the fix was in with Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General, and Clinton and the White House. That
I never promised
said,
you a rose garden.
Don't worry about that. And that turns out to have and so that's why Comey felt that he allegedly felt that he had to do that July press conference, which I think was far more damning than the one just before the election.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Turns out that was driven by information,
false
which
news.
Now is fake news.
Yeah.
That was fake news. Very, very problematic.
All right. We got to wrap up. What? What are you pointing to?
My flag. Memorial Day.
Memorial Day is Monday.
You'll let everybody know, Joe, right, what happened?
We only have a minute left. We I don't have a final total here to give you, but I will when we come back on the other side. So
over on the other side.
Over on the other side. After.
And
after
you have
we
the authority to extend the time period.
No, I don't.
He doesn't because he's got
other obligations.
I see.
Yeah, he's got a congressman waiting, I believe. All right, 1-800-323-9262. You can also pledge WAMC.org. Time is running out. We want to get to the $300,000 point in the drive. We'll let you know. We'll bring you up to date. My thanks to Alan. My thanks to Ira. My thanks to Teresa. And we'll be back.